Jump around cause you're feeling happy and wave your hand up in the party and want even know some house money ready and put the microphone in and we're feeling sexy and what if I girls you know them love mousy and shot me shot cause you know me.
Well, how's the gym anyway? Haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, the gym is very good. The last time you were there, you were still the same, tall and skinny. Wanting to kill everyone in the world. You were leading challenge of fellas in school and everything to fight.
Yeah.
And then you disappeared.
Yeah, we disappeared. I'll tell you what happened, yeah. I never really told this to anyone. Like,
and as well as that before, you were very posh speaking as well. You weren't
posh?
Real Dublin speaking.
I wasn't
like
that posh. No, I wasn't that posh. I was never posh. I always spoke the way we speak. It's just natural, do you know what I mean? Like, I never really put on an accent or anything. It just happened naturally. I don't know why. It just happened naturally. Because I remember in primary school, I used to speak with an American accent.
Yeah.
And then just naturally the Dublin accent came along and I couldn't do anything about it. The American accent was definitely put on. I definitely put it on. And then as time went on, my Dublin accent's just starting to come along. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I don't sound like this.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, you know what, fuck it. Just
that's your environment, your people you're with and you're hanging around and stuff.
I was just like, fuck it. Just be you. Stop trying to be a character. And in the gym, I felt like I was being a character. Like, I always told you I wanted to be a UFC champion.
Yeah.
It was a cocky little shit I was. I wouldn't say I wanted to kill everyone. I just wanted to be the best. Do you know what I mean? But I never really was out there with any malice in my heart. Like, I loved my teammates. We were all family. Do you know what I mean? We were all one big family. That's what I loved about the gym.
Yeah, there was no badness in you, but there was madness in you.
Yeah. I guess you've got to be crazy to be great, I suppose. I'm not saying I'm going to be great or I want to be great, but...
Well, you have to be, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be crazy, yeah. There's a method to the madness, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but just remember I wanted to be a UFC champion. That's all I wanted to do. I was just watching McGregor all the time, and he was my hero back then. I was like, fuck, I just want to be like him, better than him.
Yeah, you watched his Netflix program.
Yeah, I was seeing it last night, yeah. It was good.
It's not
actually, yeah. It was really good, yeah. But I just felt it was a bit biased towards him. I understand because he's one of the main producers behind it.
Yeah, of course.
But to be honest, they do talk a bit about the bad stuff he does, but it's more like he's the unfortunate victim of what happened.
Yeah.
I don't think they talked about him punching that elf in the pool, right?
No.
But
that was a different time.
They just talked about Khabib. That's like the only bad shit he's done in the documentary, the Khabib thing, which you understand. I've been critical of McGregor throughout the podcast. Yeah, I understand why he did what he done with Khabib. I think he probably could have done it a bit better. You know, not smash the bus in front of fighters.
Yeah, but you know what as well? I look and say, he wasn't afraid to stand up to these fellas from these big countries and, you know, and big names. And, you know, you want to mess with those, you mess with those. So I think I take my hat off to him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if that was Reds or one of my lads Siri and they got backed into a corner and somewhere, I'd expect the lads to rally up and help out, you know?
Yeah, true. I honestly would have done the same. Like, I'm not trying to be hard or anything, but I probably would have done
course,
the same. You don't do that to your best mates, yeah?
No, you just don't do that shit.
And honestly, it's sad what's going on there between him and that them.
I don't know.
He went halfway around the world just to smash up a bus for Artem. Now Artem's allegedly suing him for proper 12. I don't want to get into it because, you know,
it's I don't get involved in it at all. I know both
laws or whatever.
Yeah, well, I know both of them and I just speak to the two of them. I don't get involved in that in personal or anything, you know.
Yeah. Well, you just know it's just sad how their friendship broke down.
That's life, isn't it? That's business.
What do they say? Never make business with friends.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. But, yeah. I just hope they eventually reconcile.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Will.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, there could be a lot of parties there involved there, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's all complicated, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but anyway, like I said, how was the gym going since I left? I know Reds are retired recently, didn't he?
Yeah, the gym is great. We've had lads fighting all over the world and we've had a couple of good results in the IMAF, the amateurs, we've a couple of world champions. And then Reds are retired, it's gone into the coaching end now and he's also doing the Polaris and the Jiu Jitsu Invitational Tournaments, series coaching. And then we have a lot of new lads coming up.
Yeah, I know.
Some good lads there. We got some great results in there.
Yeah, real good lads, yeah.
In the IMAFs, and then we got James Sheen leading the way in Cage Warriors and stuff. You know, he did a tough loss there in the Tree Arena. But he's going to be a big star. Derby as well. You know, we have a good few good kids coming. We have two fellas on this weekend, Senna Coakley and Jamie Bizza, both fighting in the UK.
Yeah.
On a tournament, UK FCC. They're on there tomorrow night, Saturday night. So, busy.
Yeah, you're going to be there,
I won't be there, no. I'm only back from Spain. I was doing a 70.3 Ironman the weekend, gone there.
No, Ironman?
Yeah, in Spain, so I've done that. Struggled through it, but got it done.
Yeah. When did you get into Ironman?
Because
I know you got loads of shit going on, you're a coach
So what happened was, I was doing loads of weights, and I'd be pulling the weight on, pulling the weight off. I'd be lifting mad heavy weights, and I'd be coaching, and I wasn't doing anything for myself, and for me to do a jiu-jitsu or judo tournament, it wasn't that new. It was something that I've done all my life. So a year and a half ago was all it was. I was doing a bit of running and I was doing a bit of cycling. But a year and a half ago, a mate of mine, getting all of the black belts from the gym, and a fella called Jimmy Courtney said to me, would you not try to do a beginner triathlon? A try, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'll do it when they start next year. He said, but look, there's one next week. I said, fuck it.
That was Sean Howes, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know something, it was in Limerick, it was a great race. So it's in the river, so I was only doing 175 metre swim in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was doing a 20 bike and a 5 run. There was a bag of nerves doing it, because I was swimming in the bleeding river. Don't mind the pool, you know.
Yeah.
If you fucking can't put your feet down, drown or whatever, you know. But I'd done it anyway. And within that year then, I had done like, I think 9 different races I'd done.
Nine.
So then, yeah, and then I'd done a couple of sea swims. I started swimming with my mate Jimmy, and we were swimming in Westwood to learn to swim, you know. And I went from worrying about doing bleeding 175 metres to doing probably 5k a week in the pool, 2k Monday, 2k, 2.5k Friday, whatever, you know. But I hooked up with a fella called Mick Kyo. He does Kyofi, and he was an ex-footballer that took up triathlon, ended up coaching, very good. Put me on a programme, and my goal then was to do the Ironman 70.3 in Spain and Mallorca, and I trained for the last 6 months for it, really. Started the journey, had a couple of calf injuries. I was out running for about 6 months, so it was just really to get through the race, and had it on there the weekend. So
what was your time?
My time is 7 hours 35 minutes.
Fucking hell, that's long.
So I had a good swim. I had a 49-minute swim. It's just I end up just doing over 2k in the swim, whatever, trying to go wide. As about 3,000 people in the water.
Yeah.
So it's a bleeding nightmare. And hitting off you and punching off you and stuff. So I get out of that. I had a good run into the bike then. I got on the bike. I had a very good bike. Now, the bike was in the mountains in Spain. Bleeding views were unhuman.
Yeah.
You're going to the mountain and there's fucking mountain goats beside you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was, I think it was 3 hours 45 on that. And then on the run then, I got first 2K. I was flying. My back locked up on the third K.
Oh.
I struggled to the 7th K. Then my hamstrings locked up on the 7K, both of them. So I had to walk, run, push myself, and then I got it done. So I was happy. I had in my head, because I'm a big lump, I'm 112 kilos, and I'm not like someone, I'm 50 now, next month. And I was
happy birthday.
Yeah, and I'm sort of saying, like, I'm not like, say, some of the younger and smaller lads, they fly this, you know, I just want to get through it. And you have an 8.5 hour cut off. So I said, if I make 8 hours, I'll be fucking happy.
Yeah,
and I did 7:35, and I was
delighted.
And that's with a bad run, but I was delighted, and it was just a challenge, something different, because it's easy for me to do a jiu-jitsu competition or a judo competition or go squat something in the gym, but this was totally different and totally new. So
totally different environment.
Yeah,
maybe should have leg locked them in the swimming period.
Yeah, for fuck's sake, I would have drowned.
Or their naked chalk going to be too bad? You know what I mean?
No. No.
Yeah, but obviously, a lot of people would ask the same stereotypical questions to triathletes or Ironman runners. How would you deal with fatigue? But I'm not going to ask that. How would you deal with tiredness? Like, you want to go sleep? Did you ever like felt like you wanted to go sleep? Because it's that long, 7 hours. That's a long time.
No, because it's broke up when you have so. Like there was a fella there, very good, Nathan Ward from, he's from Dublin, from Cabaret, I think he's from. Do you know him now?
No, never heard of him.
Very good. He did it in 4 hours, 27 minutes or something.
That's fucking madness.
Because that's his sport. He's young and that's his sport, you know. No, so when I was doing it, I was actually talking to a girl called Justine, and she's done a full Ironman, but she's not like a typical athlete. She's an older girl that got into it and got herself in shape and done it. And she said to me, break it down to 3 blocks. Don't worry about the bike and the run when you're in the fucking water. So get your swim, just concentrate on the swim. Get yourself sorted. Get your transition. Take your time. Fuel up, make sure you put clean socks on, dry socks on, get on the bike and then enjoy the bike. Don't worry about the run. Do it, break it down. If you're thinking about the run, you're on the bike, you're going to be all over the place. And then the big thing I had to learn was the fuel. So when you're training for it, you're eating on the bike. I had to eat 300 calories an hour. So I'm on the bike for 3.5 hours, 3:45. So to get 300 calories each hour into me. So when it came to the run, I had the fuel in me. Because if you don't feel hungry. But if you don't eat on the bike, when it comes to the run, you got 2.5 hour run, you're not going to be able to run. Your body collapses. So I got that right, and I made sure, a mate of mine had done it before, an older guy, and he had just took up the sport late as well. And he said, listen, he said, "The write down, like, memorise where the water stations are. So when you get to the water station, make sure your two bottles in the bike are empty. So you'd have like a Gatorade or an isotonic in one and a clean water in the other one, you know. Make sure when you get to the station, the two bottles are empty. Fill, get two new ones. Even if your bottle is half full, get two new full bottles. Because it's not worse, you're in Spain, the heat, and you're caught out in the road somewhere and you've no bleeding fluids in you, you know. Yeah. And the amount of salt you lose is unhuman. You can taste it on your face, you see it on your clothes, just the sweat coming out of you. So I think that was the key I had to learn. So you didn't get tired, you hadn't got a chance to feel tired because you were worrying about everything else.
Yeah.
Now on the run, it's a head fuck because that's when the demons come in then, you know what I mean? You're playing with your head and you're thinking to yourself, oh, Jesus Christ, no, you know what, I'll knock it on the head, I'll do the next one, you know? And then you're saying, oh, fuck that, you know? You know, you had family and friends there and they were pushing you every lap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was good.
It had something like your mentality when it came to that Iron Man, just get on with it. You built that mentality in the gym. When I was in the gym, there was this mentality, whatever's going on, just get on with it.
Just get on with it, yeah. I think you have to have that. Like my thing was that I'm just going to finish this. I don't have to be the best or the worst. I've got to finish it. And what I had to get into my head is I say to all the fighters and I drill into them, you know, you're doing this for yourself first. That's the number one thing. So for anything else, I was doing it to myself. Prove to yourself you can do it, you know. And I say to the fighters, there's no point in a fighter getting into that ring or cage. We've got two lads that sent a message today. You're going over there to win. You're going over there because I know you're better than that opponent and I believe in you can win that fight. I'm not saying you're over to lose a fight. So I have to have that same mentality and, you know, and I have to push it. And then I have to lead and set out the standards, you know. So they're looking at me, 50-year-old man, doing something he's never done and I'm fucking doing it and completing it and doing it well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hands up, cross that line. So when I have the lads fighting, when I tell them to do something, they have that bit of respect. Well, look, he goes out and does it or he's done it before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to believe. There's no point in not believing in yourself. No point me going out there to do that Iron Man and saying, right, listen, I'm going to go out that, but I don't think I can do it. Or I didn't train hard. I did train hard enough. I got sick 2 weeks before and I was worrying a bit. And my coach, Mick, said to me, I'm on a thing called training peaks. So he gives me my workouts on this training peaks. And so I'm accountable every day. So today I had a swim. Today, tomorrow I'm on a run. Mm-hmm. Sunday I'm on a bike. And when I do it, links up my Garmin watch. It goes on to that. If I complete it, it's green. If it's red, if I don't do it. So what you say? So he said, go back and look at your training peaks. They were all greens. I hadn't missed one session for the whole year, you know.
Yeah.
So the work was put in. So I say the same thing to the fighters. You put the work in the mat. You put the work in, you know, in the cage. You put the work on the road when you're running. You look after your food, right? When you get into that cage, that's the easy part. Mm-hmm. The hard part was the training. You know what I mean? So I have to have that in my mind. So I try to do the same thing when I was doing the Ironman as I would for the lads competing, you know?
Yeah.
That little bit of belief and that little bit of toughness.
Yeah, keep going until it's second nature when it's time to do the marathon or it's time to fight.
Yeah.
To the second nature and you don't really get nervous at all, Freddy.
Yeah, you know I do. I mean? I think nerves are good. I think it's adrenaline. That's that fight or flight thing. I think if you're not nervous, it's a problem. It's too comfortable then.
Yeah.
If I was nervous about that, Like the 2 days before, I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe. My chest was closing in.
Yeah.
My heart rate, my watch was off the charts. Yeah. But I wasn't the only one. The guys that were good have that feeling. It's like fighters. I always knew when I was competing, I always very, very, not nervous, a good nerve is energy. It's energy and it's learning how to control that energy. People that fall apart is when they let the energy get to them and it goes bad and they drain and they physically feel fucked. And, oh, dude, well, you got to try and bottle that and, you know, And hold that. So I'm used to that, I suppose, as a coach and as an athlete before. So I do try and push that a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it has to be in your head. Look, I was a bag of nerves before that race. I'm a bag of nerves. I remember doing a competition in the Pan Ams in 2011 in LA. And I'm over there and I'm a bag of nerves. But I knew when I stood onto the mat, it's a mad feeling. It's like the stage rose up. I knew I was going to win. I just knew that day I was going to win. When I stood onto that mat, I could feel the energy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was nervous before it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's normal when people say they don't get nervous, that's bail for us.
Yeah, you get nervous in everything. Yeah.
Everything. Even the podcast, like before you came along, I was nervous, I was shitting myself. I was like, fucking hell, what if we fuck up? But it's just preparing me for this occasion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know why you get nervous.
You know what? So what if we fuck up? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not the end of the world. That's what I'm trying to say to fellas in the gym, they have a loss. No big deal. We get back on, we work hard again. You know what I mean? You know, that's the end of it. You know what I mean? There's no point in thinking that. We think the negative all the time, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck the negative. Think the positive.
Yeah. I done a wrestling competition a few years back when I was still at the gym.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. It was in Blanche, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was in Blanche, yeah.
I actually think I have the photograph of all
Yeah, you have the photograph. Yeah. I always see the photograph. Yeah. Whenever I see a team lineup post somewhere, I always see myself. Crap, how skinny I was. I'm still a bit skinny, but I have filled up
You were really skinny. Really skinny then. Now you're about, gosh.
I was like 15.
How old were you then?
I was about 15, 16.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm 22 now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just turned 22 on Thursday.
Oh, really?
Last Thursday, sorry.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so.
Big party?
Nah.
No. Too old for that now.
Yeah, it's 21st.
Yeah, the wrestling was good. The wrestling was good.
The wrestling was a good time. I remember before we wrestled, I had to wrestle this huge fella. I was like, what the fuck? This is a mismatch. I just got real nervous. I remember feeling sick. The amount of times I went to the Jackson shit myself. Literally took a shite. I think it took about 5 shites.
That's just adrenaline.
Adrenaline. Like, I did believe I'd win, but yeah, it's just the nerves. And he ended up battering me at the end.
You weren't too bad.
No, I was. But I was. You got to be realistic.
Yeah, but you weren't too bad because you don't forget.
I didn't get pinned.
No, but you don't forget. Like, wrestling is not our sport. We're doing wrestling to improve our MMA or jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So the thing with the wrestling was, for you guys, was there is no levels in wrestling where you come in and it's beginners only. You know, you were fighting guys with experience. Where you do jiu-jitsu tournament, you fight white belts or blue belts or purple belts.
Yeah.
Amateur MMA, you're not going to fight a professional. But at the wrestling, at that competition, you was that was the All-Ireland. So you could have been fighting a national champion first round or a complete beginner like yourself. There's no sort of structure because it's not a huge sport, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I wish. I wish there was someone like similar size to me because,
Well, they actually done one just there now. They started to do it at the wrestling and have done that. So they brought in a competition and they had it in Ballymun. And it was like that for a novice type of event, you know?
Novice types. If say that happened back then, I think I would have done all right in that, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have done all right. It was just too much too soon, I suppose. But it was a good learning curve, you know what I mean? I did enjoy it at the end of the day, even though he got lumped around. I did enjoy it.
You don't win every... Look, it's like fellas, I say, playing football teams. It's easier when you don't win every week as a team of yours, you know?
Yeah.
But there's very, very few teams win every week, score every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You win 2, you lose 1. You win 3, you lose 4, you know what I mean? It's just the way it is. So it's the same in sports, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And what about amateur MMA? We were talking about jiu-jitsu competitions, like, if you have the same amount of experience, you go in and fight each other. Yeah. Is amateur MMA the same thing?
Roughly. So, when you get to the higher level now, like the top IMF level now, so what we've actually done now in Ireland is, for the IMF, which is the Irish Mixed Martial Arts Association, they had the national championship, so they've done it in like belt grades or 4 different grades, like a novice, an intermediate, a senior, an elite, you know, that type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So guys, there's so many fights that are only starting off, weren't thrown in against, you know, someone very experienced, a Lewis Bourne or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So then you had your elite guys, and then them elite guys will take the number one spot in the Irish team, and they go away then. You're fighting anybody then, you know, any level. That's the way it is, you know.
Yeah, you look at the IMAFs. Like, the IMAFs are organised so well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's excellent, the organisation. Yeah. It's like in the Olympics. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
that's how it's run, like the Olympics.
Last January, we got invited to the Super Cup. And what that was, for the year before, the top 5 ranked teams and then 3 guest teams were brought in. We were ranked 5th in the world, which was unbelievable compared to the big countries. Yeah. And we ended up coming 2nd in it. And winning $75,000 for the association, which was huge.
Yeah, that's excellent, that.
Yeah, we beat Mexico in our we beat Australia and New Zealand in our first match. And then we were in the semis then against Mexico. We beat Mexico. So it was really good. And then we got slaughtered then by Bahrain in the final.
Yeah.
But they're all Dagestani and Russians.
They're animals, aren't they? Yeah. You just can't stop them. And you know.
But it was
good.
It was a massive achievement for a small country like us to get, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's mad. Yeah. Ireland's just, it's under the radar, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just so under the radar. Like, no one knows the talent we have. Yeah. Not just in MMA, in all the sports. Yeah. Except football, of course. We'll show you football.
But any other sport. There's some good young that's coming through now, I think, the football.
Yeah,
I think it's good lads coming through. Yeah, I think in a couple of years.
Yeah, Evan Ferguson, of course. Yeah,
I think 5 or 6 years time, it might be a different.
Yeah, game. I hope so. Yeah, how we do all right in the football, because it's been a long
time.
We're
not bad at the boxing. Katie Taylor on tomorrow.
Yeah, on tomorrow night.
Tough fight.
This will be it on Sunday, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So Katie Taylor. Well, last night.
last night, and she won. She battered Joe once and Ted Cameron.
It's actually going to be a tough close fight, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trying to Cameron's no joke.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough fight.
She's younger than Katie, is she?
Yeah, younger.
She's strong, she's fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she seems to
I think she's
fight.
She's heavier than Katie as well.
Yeah, he's a dangerous fight for Katie. But look, dangerous. She's fought everybody. She has
fought everybody. Yeah. She fought the best of the best and bet the best of the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's in home soil. Yeah. Like, I think with the Irish crowd, it's definitely going to get to Chantel's head.
Yeah.
And that's going to hamper hopefully. Her performance. Hopefully, yeah. You going?
No.
Yeah, me neither. There's actually something I want to talk about. Something I never even said on the podcast, but I just held it. In another Kate Taylor fight week. So I'm not going. I saw me ticket last night, yeah?
Yeah.
Thursday night, just in case this is out. Thursday night, yeah? Sold it. Basically, the whole thing was a shit show from start to finish, yeah? I got me ticket, like the day the tickets were sold, yeah? But the thing was, I wanted to get two tickets. One for myself, one for my brother. 80 euro tickets, handy enough, yeah? I went on Ticketmaster, went to the app to get the tickets, yeah? I was like, you have to go on your desktop or Safari. He's like, all right, I'm going to go Safari, yeah? So I went Safari. I was like, I have to go to a queue. I was like, all right, no bother. And as I was on the queue, right, I was going in and out of the queue, yeah? It was like some mad glitch or something, yeah? And there was just mad flashing lights, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This is strange. I never really paid attention to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because around the time that the tickets were out, yeah, I go into the order, yeah? Where you pay the tickets, yeah? I got two tickets for myself and my brother. Tried to pay, yeah? And then I had to go to the checkout. I went to the checkout. They said, tickets are gone. I was like, what? What's going on? It was all strange. And I was like, I tried again and again and again. I didn't realise it's not working. And then, this is literally at like 10 o'clock, 1 past 10. I've already seen resale tickets. Like $5,000 and all for tickets. I was like, what? This is shit. This is my corrupt or something. That's why you don't use Ticketmaster for that, and do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you ever do a live show, we'll probably do it on Eventbrite. Fuck Ticketmaster. I hate Ticketmaster. Like, Ticketmaster's a joke. Like, it's so weird and all. And then I had to go to Stagefront. You know Stagefront?
No.
Basically, they're affiliated with Matchroom.
Okay.
So I tried to get two tickets for myself and my brother, and then I realised that we couldn't. And then there was one ticket, a category one ticket that I bought. Guess how much it was?
No idea.
Just under 300 euros.
No way.
Yeah. The thing with me, I hate this about myself, yeah, is I'm an impulsive buyer. I just don't think. I just buy it straight away. Yeah. So you know what I mean? I don't really give it a thought.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get one from my brother. I couldn't afford it. I was broke. Do you know what I mean? That was literally my whole pay. I spent my whole pay on 1K Taylor tickets.
Yeah, it was crazy,
like,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and get one from my brother somehow. Try and get a ticket. Buy a ticket and then swap it with someone who's sitting in the seat beside me so my brother could sit beside me.
Yeah.
And then eventually over time I was like, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? I mean, I lost a lot of money when I could be spending it on valuable shit, you know what I mean? That means more like a podcast. I ended up selling it, yeah. I ended up selling it. It's not worth it.
For the same price?
No, 200.
Less? 100 less?
100 less, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, sure, innit? But it is what it is. I couldn't. I tried to sell it for face value, but no one was buying it.
No way.
No one was buying it. It's like, I was like, oh yeah, I want to take how much is it? I was like, 300 face value. I was like, nope, not getting it. I was like, fuck's sake. Surprise. So I decided to sell it for less, just so someone could get it.
Yeah.
And thank God someone bought it last night, yeah. And I hope he enjoys it, yeah, man, yeah. I just want to give someone a chance.
I know Thomas McCarthy and Gary Cully is on it, is it?
Yeah, Tom McCarthy. Who else? That's all I could remember. I know Thomas McCarthy, yeah. That's all I could remember off the top of my head. Basically, the Matchroom fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the big Irish fighters.
Yeah.
What about Dylan Martin? I don't know. Is Dylan Martin fighting?
I don't know. I'm trying to Google it, really.
Yeah, go on. My phone's charging. It's always charging every time I'm out.
That's because you're never off, probably, is it?
No, it's because the battery drains quick. It's an old phone. That's the thing. The older the phone is, the iPhone is, then it's just the more shit is. But it's functioning at least, you know what I mean? It's functioning some kind of way. So it's like, you know what, I'll just keep it instead of spending $1,000 on a new iPhone. Yeah.
Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron. Gary Cully. Jose Felix or something. Yeah. Terry Harper.
Oh yeah, Terry Harper's fighting, yeah. She fought your one Clarissa.
Dennis Hogan, is that what you said? Dennis Hogan.
Dylan Martin.
Kevin Akiwara.
Kevin Akiwara, yeah, he's tops, he's a good fighter.
Thomas Carty. Paddy Donovan. Maisie Rose Courtney, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they didn't run for you.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be changed, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, it's going to be a cracking night, I know that for sure, yeah.
So you come back training now?
It's over. It's over for me. It's too late.
Anything? Are you doing anything?
Just this, man. Just this, that's all I got.
You're only training right now?
weightlifting, that's it.
Oh, that's
I just go to the gym and we lift weights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually a PT, believe it or not.
Are you?
Yeah, appearances can be deceiving, and I may not look like one, but I am. Well, I don't use it, you know what I mean? I have the qualification.
Where did you do that?
Image Fitness, up in Swords.
Oh, okay.
I done it right before lockdown, right? I got the qualification right around lockdown. And then I was like, fuck, it's just bad timing. I think if lockdown never happened, or like got it before lockdown, long before it, or after it, when everything's got back to normal, I think I would have been a PT and been working, but it's just unfortunate timing that.
What did you think of lockdown? How did you find it?
I was difficult. It was actually difficult. Yeah, I was just trying my best to keep myself sane. It's like prison, do you know what I mean? It's like a prison sense.
I actually enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, because like, financially it was bad for me because I run a business and I had two locations that were locked up and closed. I couldn't make any money. Now, I was very lucky. I still had a few students that were paying and did no problem with it. And we were able to cover the bills, so we didn't get ourselves in debt because I still had to pay the rent and the buildings.
Yeah.
That doesn't go, you know. But for me, fitness-wise and health-wise, I think it saved me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it got me running and it got me outdoors and it got me doing stuff. So that lockdown, remember the very first few weeks where you went to go more than 2 kilometres from
the house? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, pucks.
Every single night, 8 o'clock, 7 days a week, 4 weeks of the month, for the whole few months, I used to get the dog in my little car, drive down to St. Anne's and try and run the park every bleeding night, 8 o'clock. My neighbours coming over to me then and saying to me, where are you going every night? I'm going out with the dog for a run. He went out without the rock. But it was great because it gave me a base and a start. Then I started cycling every day. And I remember I was out in Bray, got stopped by a guard, you know, checkpoint. It's 5 kilometres in your area. Ah, yeah, we are, guard. I was bleeding 40 kilometres away. You know what I mean? But it was grand. I just thought it was good for me to re-switch the brain because I'm in the gym and travelling all the time.
Yeah.
It's just that you were based at home. I was doing barbecues every bleeding day. We were spoiled with the weather as well at the start of it.
I know.
And I was training.
Great, wasn't it?
And it took a little bit of that sort of stress out of my life a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Financially bad, but health-wise good.
Yeah, I suppose it's good because you have a family, you know?
Yeah. Like, so a lot of family time. And I'd missed all that. Like, so last year, I was back to normal. Like last year, the start of last year, which I took a break a little bit this year. Last year, January, I was in Dubai. Then February, I was in Abu Dhabi. Then February again, I was in Bahrain. Then a month later that, I was in Texas. Then a couple of weeks after that, I was in bloody Vegas.
Yeah.
Then I was in the UK about 3 times in between all them.
Yeah.
And then I had my own little seminars and stuff to be covering. So it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Plus I was trying to train at the same time myself for the triathlons.
Yeah.
So this year I said, listen, I'm not taking any of them big trips. I'll get other lads to deal with them and other coaches in the gym and take a step back. Because it does, you can get so caught up. You know, you've got to look after yourself first. You know what I mean? It's the big thing.
Eventually, you'd snap, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you do.
Like doing all that shit. I mean, it's great being busy and trying to keep your mind off things and all. But
what I did was, I sort of changed my mentality. So I tried to get back to teach what you preach sort of a thing. So when I was in Dubai and I was in Bahrain, we were stuck in Bahrain for like over 2 weeks because of there was flights cancelled and stuff. So me and the other coach ran every day. So every evening after the fights were on or had to be in training, me and him would put the gear on and we'd go and do 8-10K in Bahrain in the fucking heat, you know. And we did it every night. And then one of the days we went out during the day, we said, we're trying to do 21K on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We go out during the day. It doesn't feel that warm. We got bleeding 5K in, the heat bleeding drained us. We had to stop and walk bleeding back.
Yeah, it's that
desert heat.
Desert
heat, yeah. Yeah, crazy. But so I tried to train. So even then when I was in Vegas or I was in Texas, I ran every day or swam every day.
Yeah.
Make sure I got me. Just to keep that up because you can get caught up in not doing it. That's what fucks you up then, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
And you see how you're talking about running and swimming and all that. I know you used to be in the army, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you do any sort of training similar to that while you were in the army?
Yeah. I love the army, yeah. That's when I look back, Army's probably one of the best things I ever did. I think I actually teach in the gym and in my life. I still did that army sort of discipline.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what it was like in the gym. It was like an army.
I think you have to have that. You have to have that bit of structure, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned great lessons. I still have great friends with the army. Yeah, but I always ran in the army. I love doing the outdoor stuff. I love being on the ranges. I love doing any of the stuff, you know, the hikes in the forest and stuff like that. I loved all that type of stuff. But I do a good bit of hunting as well now. So I think I take that from the army. So I'm out, I deer hunt all every year. And I'm up in the hills all the time anyway, so
yeah.
Yeah, but I do think the army thing did come with me. Did sort of, it was embedded into me, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever go abroad on tour?
I was sort of, not selfish, but I did a lot of sports stuff, so I would have been in Croatia and France and Germany with the stuff. I didn't bother going to Lebanon, which is one of my regrets. When the lockdown came in, the army were recruiting for guys that were in before. If you're under 50, you could go back in. I did all the interviews, got offered a spot. And it was just that thing of, I'll just go in and go back to go to 11. I said, you know what, no, I'm going to buy that now. You know, I'm a business owner going in to be a trooper again. You know, the bottom of the rung. I said, no, it's the wrong thing for me. If I'd have been a few years younger, I probably would have done it.
Yeah.
Would have gone back in. But I thought it was a great opportunity for people that had left to come back to the army.
Yeah.
Which is unusual. Because they'd lost a lot of bodies. You know, a lot of people had left and a lot of fellas had got old and retired. But the only regrets, I try not to have too many regrets in life. One of them was leaving the army. I loved it. I probably should have stayed there. My brother was in the 5th Battalion. He was a corporal there and he'd done like 26 years in it, you know. Loved it. He's retired now with a pension.
Yeah. I remember you telling me while I was at the gym, live life and no regrets.
Yeah, of course.
That
sure.
Just stuck with me. Yeah. Even though I have loads of regrets in life. Yeah, but anyone does. Again, try and have minimum regrets.
Yeah, I look at that and I say, I have a regret about losing the army. I shouldn't say that because I went in a different path then. I had another child then, my youngest daughter, Sophie. If I was in the army, I probably wouldn't have. That could have, you know, going a different way. I always remember I was in the army. I was in the gym one day and I'm bleeding, feeling sorry for myself. You know, and I felt, what's up with that? We'll be retiring from the army today. I said, and, you know, would have, oh, yeah, fucking great you left, wasn't it? And I said, what? I said, no, I think I should have stayed. Yeah, but he said, you wouldn't be here now today and you wouldn't have, you know, of 10 affiliates around the country, and you wouldn't have all these people trained, you wouldn't have changed, you changed a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And you helped out a lot of fellas. He said, like, fellas, this place wasn't here. Some fellas go off the bloody head, you know?
Yeah.
So you think, no, we go on paths for a reason, you know? I shouldn't say I regret things, but I do have little things. Well, maybe I could have made a little different decision here, or, you know, but then I probably wouldn't have been sitting here talking to you then, you know?
Yeah, everything could have been different, though, but that flow effect, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anything could change, everything could change. Yeah. Like with one small decision, one tiny decision could change everything. Do you get me?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And you see that with people. Someone, I know, a lovely guy, and he on hard times and went down the wrong road. His fucking life is fucked now. You know, fucked. Just took the wrong turn and he's paying for it now.
Yeah, I know.
Lost his family, lost everything, lost his job. For what, you know? For what?
I know, yeah. That's why sports is just a big, big saviour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Like, sports gets loads of young fellas off the streets and all. And
people say to me, like,
and people here who are in difficult situations in life, sports could do so much.
Yeah, but people say to me, oh, that sport is short. This one. It doesn't matter what sport you do. It doesn't matter if you want to do aikido, jiu-jitsu, judo, you want to play football, tennis, badminton. Once you're active and you enjoy it, that's it. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. There's not one better than the other. It does me head in when people say that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, fellas like running, fellas like rock climbing, you know, fellas like swimming.
Yeah.
Once you're doing something, it's brilliant. My wife actually took up the, she's in the Inner City Running Club. Do you know the Inner City Running
Club? Yeah, I know,
Great, they won an award there the other night. Very good running club, great coaches in the place. So she wanted to do, during the lockdown, she wanted to do a 5K run. Had never ran.
Mm-hmm.
She joined that club. She did a 5K run. Then she did a 10K run. Then she did a few half marathons. Then she did the Barcelona marathon.
Yeah.
Then she did the Belfast marathon. Now she's a coach now, coaching the beginners. But it's great. That's sport. Great. And I think that lockdown, it got a lot of people back training.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women and a lot of girls that didn't really train. If you look now running, it's nearly a lot more women out running than men now.
Yeah, I know, I see it.
And it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
So in my house, my daughter there was joking that her last three little trips away was... my wife running the Belfast Marathon, a friend of hers running the London Marathon, she was over there, and then me doing the Ironman. So it's all sports related. We're having holidays and sports related, you know, it's great. Yeah.
Do your kids do any sports?
Yeah, my kids dance, the two kids. The eldest one doesn't know. She's had it taken up to running. She's 26. She's running in a city running club as well. She's done the half marathons and that. And the youngest one dances. He dances in Finglas.
Strikeforce?
No, with Dean Ryan. What
they're
called, but
older
now, yeah. But she does all that, and then you know, so she's very successful at that. She's won world titles and stuff at it. But yeah, they're all active, they're all fit. Everyone trains. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, do you remember Paul, my nephew? No, trained with us the other time. No, Paul Ryan. No,
Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan.
Redhead, you know, he's a very successful professional boxer.
I think I've seen a podcast with Jay Orned's on him, innit?
Could have been.
Ginger fella with a beard. Yeah, I remember seeing it years ago.
He's one of the best new pros around. He's 6-0 now at the moment.
Yeah.
Find it hard to get a fight, fellas won't fight him. Yeah, because he's dropping fellas with body shots, you know.
That's the worst thing, yeah. I've noticed it. If you have a great amateur accolade, like you gone to the Olympics or you went to a prestigious tournament, you get a lot more hype around you, like, you know what I mean? You get people helping you out and pushing you, helping you grow, and it'd be easier to get fights because of money, of course.
That's the game, because you're already a household name, so it's easier for them to just make money out of you, you know?
Yeah, look at Anthony Joshua. Like, he got overhyped because of the Olympics and all.
Yeah, but he is good. Yeah, he is a good
boy. He is good, but he's overrated.
Yeah, he's good, but...
Overrated. He's not... Oh, I've seen Tony Bellew, actually. I was laughing at this. Yeah, I've seen Tony Bellew. I've seen on Twitter, right? He compared Joshua to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, no.
Oh, not even missing. No, no. He compared him to Muhammad Ali.
He's a specimen of a man. He's a good boxer, but he's not Muhammad Ali, no.
Exactly.
There's only one Muhammad Ali.
Ali. Yeah. Muhammad Ali changed the game, and Tony Bellew was saying something like, AJ changed the game like Muhammad Ali did. I was like, what? Nah, AJ did, fair play to him. He made the heavyweight division interesting again.
Yeah.
He did, and fair play to him.
Yeah.
But Muhammad Ali didn't just change the face of boxing, he changed the world.
Yeah.
Literally, the entire world changed because of that man. He's just. Yeah. That was just stupid off Bellew.
Yeah.
Honestly, stupid. I'd love to get him on the podcast so he'd call him out on that.
Would you?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to call people out on shit. Do you know what I mean? I'm just not afraid.
Tell me about how did you get into the podcast?
How did I get into it? I said a few times, but I listen to Talking Bollocks.
Okay, yeah.
I love that podcast. Probably my favourite podcast right now. Well, second favourite, apart from mine, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I got to be biased.
Yeah.
But I've played with the idea for a while, for months on end, listening to Joe Rogan, listening to loads of podcasts, and I was thinking to myself, it's not that hard, it's just people having a chat. All I have to do is just get a mic, get an equipment, get a recording software, and then just whack your websites and all.
Yeah.
And then... It was just, I was just flirting with the idea. I wasn't really taking it seriously, do you know what I mean?
Right.
It was just like thoughts in my head, do you know what I mean? Like wanting to be a UFC champion, just thoughts in my head, Except when I was doing MMA, like, oh, you really wanted to do it, or you worked really hard to do it, but unfortunately, I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I really wasn't good enough. I remember asking you for fights and all, begged you for fights. Like, oh, I always wanted a fight, an MMA fight, a proper MMA fight. You wouldn't give it to me. I was begging
you. Didn't want to bleed and train. You wanted to just have big, straight in pro fight.
Not pro fight, amateur. I just want to have a strainer. I just want to have a knockin' on, you know what I mean? Train and then have a fight as well. I just don't know. I just love the fight games, you know what I mean? I love MMA. I still watch it every now and again. Yeah. It's just not as much as I used to. Back when I was training, which I was obsessed with it, because I was addicted to it, I used to watch every UFC event.
Remember you sent me a big message about 4 pages long about how you wanted to have a fight.
Yeah, I just wanted a knock. That's all I want.
You were good at writing. You were good at rewarding things. So that's why maybe the podcast suits you then.
Yeah.
How many of these have you done now?
This is episode 47.
Oh, very
good. Minus all the bonus episodes. I think we've done about 4 bonus episodes, but I don't care about that. This is episode 47.
And how was your following, you know, grown from the start? Or did you find it hard at the start? Or how did you?
I found it hard at the start, to be honest. Nah. At the start, it was difficult, And then around 10 episodes, we started rising up. We got 100 followers and all.
Okay.
And then we stagnated a bit. It was just slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were at as 10, mate, and then... started the year, we just went on a boom, another 100 followers, nearly on 300 followers on Instagram now. Look, I do be harsh on myself. We do set goals, and if I don't achieve them goals, I do be harsh on myself. Like, it's on record in the podcast, I'm very harsh on myself. Look, I want to have 1,000 followers by the end of the year, but to be honest, I don't care about followers or anything like that.
I'm the same. I had the blue tick on my Instagram, you know, but I haven't got loads of followers.
The thing for me is followers are listeners, potential listeners. Yeah. That's what matters to me. I was thinking, if them people follow me, they must have listened to the podcast. They must be regular listeners to the podcast. So if we keep growing them followers, the more likely they're actually going to listen to the podcast and listen to them religiously.
How do you push the podcast for people that you know?
What do you mean? Promotion?
So say you have me on today, like how do I tag you and link you up my Instagram to let people know that you've podcasts and stuff. Do you do that with everyone that comes in?
Yeah, I put up a post every single time, about what the episode's about, a general idea of what it's about.
But do you get people to share? Or try and get other people to share?
I try and get them to share. most of them do some down for some reason. Yeah, okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. But hopefully you do, yeah.
Oh, well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Or remember,
it works both ways, because then people listening to this, they might follow me then. I might follow the gym. I might come up for a training session.
Yeah,
you know
they
what
should.
I mean?
They should. Yeah. I'm telling you now, MMA is just an amazing thing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's intense, but it's amazing, isn't it? Really is amazing. Only thing, just don't wrestle. Don't do wrestling. wrestling just drained the life out of me. Like, every wrestler, I loved wrestling, to be honest. I loved it with Bill and all, but I just felt like I was going to die there. Yeah.
Bill is still there coaching.
Yeah, Bill. And what's his young fella's name? I know he has a
Connor,
yeah.
Connor's
I remember
still
Connor.
There, yeah.
Still there, yeah. How are they doing?
Yeah, good, yeah. Bill's still running the show. He's still coaching away there at the wrestling team.
Yeah. Stay with them in 10 sessions and all. Yeah. Look, I remember we were putting a circle and all. We had to fucking sprawl God knows how many times and all.
Yeah.
And then, I remember it was a bit like Duck Goose. I remember like someone had to run over you, like fucking step on your fucking car. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was just the torment you.
Yeah, it was just, the whole thing was intense. I remember Siri, right? When we do takedowns, right, we go easy on each other, yeah? Siri doesn't. Siri goes full force on you.
He doesn't know how to go easy.
You know, I was expecting him, when he took me down the first time, I was expecting him to take it easy. I was like, all right, no bother. And then he took me down the first time. I was like, I was out of breath for a while. I literally lost my breath. I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, is he trying to fucking kill me, you know? Yeah. But I was too afraid to say anything to him, because I think he was still fighting at the time. I think he was in camp for his last fight.
So what year would that be?
2017.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was around the time he was about to fight Pantoja in Glasgow.
Oh, right, yeah.
His last fight, yeah. Serdi's a legend. Yeah. Like, he's an absolute legend. The shit he's done, being in the UFC, fighting the best of the best. Your man, he's fighting his last fight, he's fighting for the title.
I know.
And, your man's working full time.
And he were around each, going into the third round of that fight.
Yeah.
I see, just the age and the fitness has got to him there.
Yeah, if he was a couple of years younger.
Yeah, but he was like doing a full time job of 5 bloody young kids at home, you know. So when he finished a fight on a Saturday, he was back in work on Monday. He couldn't take a week off. I remember
seeing after his UFC debut, he went to work straight away. I was like,
yeah, sweeping the fucking floor.
That man, his mentality is something else.
That's the work ethic, you know. You have to have that. You have to have that little drive, you know. People aren't going to give you things for nothing. You got to work for them.
Yeah, I know.
You work for them, you got the rewards, you know.
Yeah, Serdi was an absolute legend, and he's a hero of mine when I was in the gym. I just looked up to him.
Yeah.
Like what he's achieved and his mentality. And Redzar as well. I see Redzar in the gym. He's the hardest working motherfucker I've ever seen in the gym. Elsray. Every time I see him, he just works so hard. He's still doing the DJing as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the Cock and Bull, and I think he does 22 as well.
He has a residency in 22, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I listen to a few of
and I do my indoor training at a bike I'd put on. He has a few mixes on SoundCloud. I put them on then. Just
none of them are Reds.
No, he has a few on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
follow them on it. So it's great.
It's actually really good mixes. To be fair, really good. It's not like the usual Dublin house thing where it's just Beltazoni. You know, it's just groovy, funky songs. You know, I mean. I actually like his mixes. To be fair,
you are more of a rap man now. You're not.
House. I like a bit of rap. I like a bit of rap. Old school rap, but. That new scale rap, the American show, you just don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But UK rap is tops. I love UK rap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good, yeah. Really good music and all. But I'm more into house, to be honest. House music, Dublin house especially.
Yeah.
Real good music, yeah. Real good DJs going out.
No way.
Yeah. Excellent, yeah. What are we into?
What, me?
Yeah, music wise.
Everything. So if you go onto my Spotify, I'll be listening to Andrew Bocelli, George Michael, then I could be listening to Tupac, Eminem, AC/DC, anything really. So like I'd like team tunes with that, Good, the Bad and the Ugly, Ecstasy of Gold, shit like that.
Yeah,
I like the Schindler's List playing thing, but I like a lot of either 80s sort of pop dancey music stuff and old dance music like the 90s, you know, late 90s, that type of stuff, and I put on a bit of that. Good mix.
Depends
what I'm doing. If I'm on the bike, I either put Snoop Dogg on, and he has a mix with a few different people. It's on Spotify. I put that on, or else I put on like an old 90s dance music or a beat type of thing, and I'll just whack
something
that on.
To get you going. Yeah,
sometimes it's AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC is tops.
A little bit of Guns N' Roses. You know, a mix. I like a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades. Just like MMA, Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, master of them all.
Master of them all. Yeah. Master of the leg looks.
Yeah. That's it. Football fan?
Oh, yeah, big into football, yeah.
Who do you support?
Man City.
Man City.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new Man City fan. Are we always a Man City fan?
Old, always been. Right. Always been.
My brother, well, sister-in-law's partner is a mad Arsenal fan. Lives in London, and I couldn't believe it. I thought they were going to do it, and it just fell apart. I wouldn't be mad about football. I followed Liverpool as a kid, never changed. I couldn't tell you who half the team now, but yeah. I stick to the same team. But I wouldn't know too much about football. I just thought like they're such a lead with the points, and then just fucking fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fell apart.
Arsenal just choked. I thought they were going to win the league.
Yeah, I thought so.
I literally thought a few months ago they're definitely going to win the league. Like, our form wasn't that good. You know what I mean? We were struggling, we were inconsistent. Arsenal was just fun. I was like, yeah, they're winning the league. We got no hope.
The Man City team's one of the best around now.
We're going to win the league on Sunday, hopefully. We could win the league. We're in the Cup final against United, and then we're in the Champions League final.
Yeah, I think
it's top shit. I'm actually glad we're in another final, but it means nothing to me right now. Because I remember when we got to that final against Chelsea, I was crying my eyes out after that PSG game. I was crying. I was literally bawling. It's like we won it or not. Do you know what I mean? I was just happy that we got to the final.
Yeah.
And then the magic of the final just got to me. And then we ended up losing. I was like, fuck all that. I was like, all this for nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Mad, isn't it?
Right now, I'm just happy, but I just don't give a fuck. Still got so much work to do. Do you know what I mean? So much work to do. Still got 90 minutes, maybe more, to play. And then once we win, I'm definitely going to cry. Win or lose, I'm crying either way. You know that? 10th of June, I'll be crying like a baby.
I'm asking you bleed more questions than
You're the interviewer. There's actually something I want to ask you in terms of amateur MMA in Ireland. Yeah. I know you're kind of critical of the way amateur MMA is being run in terms of, you see how in kickboxing tournaments and jiu-jitsu tournaments, you lose the first fight, and then you go through a bracket, and you can still get the fight, you can still win it. Do you know what I mean? You could say, I lost the first fight, but we won everything else, and I ended up winning the tournament. Yeah. And in amateur MMA, it's now, I'm fucking 10-1 or something like that. Do you know what I mean? The way it's run, it's going to run like professional fighting, isn't it?
Well, it's not like even amateur boxing's the same. So
amateur's the same, yeah.
Yeah. So there is tournaments for for the younger kids, they have a couple of fights.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a few fights on the day.
Yeah.
They don't just have one fight. They could have three people in the division to fight two fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the problem with combat sports is, especially when you're throwing punches around, if I beat you, I've won, you've been beaten, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for you then to go in and fight again then, because you don't know whether you've been stopped or you've been took headshots or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I have no problem with the way it's run. I think more and more amateur, where maybe there's no headshots for a certain age and they have three or four fights in the day.
Yeah.
That's great, but when you get to a certain level, it's either win or lose, you know what I mean? So it's like you go to the boxing, you go into the, you know, you'll do your Dublins, your Leinsters, your senior, you know, whatever.
But still tournaments at the end of the day. You see amateur MMA, I see a lot of them just being one fight.
Oh, no. So amateur MMA, there are tournaments now. So
I know there are tournaments now.
That's only a new thing.
I know, but there are still some.
Oh, yeah, but that's a different thing. So they're private events shows. So if I run my Cage Warriors Academy or a Battle Zone, they're private shows that I'm putting on a 10-fight card on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I can't give you more than 1 fight. 10 fights on, you win the fight, you lose the fight, just goes in your record. The same on any boxing night, you know.
Yeah,
that's the way it's run. But there is loads of there's the MMA leagues, the Sheridan brothers run that, and then Phil and Peter runs another gamut, and they have like a league thing where you come in and you could have a different few fights in a day, and over the year then you get your medal. So it's 3 or 4 or 5. There's loads of events like that, but once you step past that, then it has to be, you know, you're fighting the Saturday night or you're fighting at the tournament, or, you know, that's the way it is.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And we see Irish amateur MMA, especially in tournaments, we see it being a bit similar to amateur boxing where you fight for points. Am I doing saying that? It's like point fighting. Do you know what I mean? You just want to win rounds. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it depends. So if you're in a one-day tournament where you just have the one fight in the one night, you want to go out and submit the fella and knock him out. That's the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. If you're at the World Championships where you could be fighting for 5 days, you play the point game.
Yeah.
You want to just win the round without taking any damage.
Yeah.
The last day you can go mad, throw bleeding shots and, you know, take a few shots. Because what happens is we've had some good fighters that had wars day one, round one, come to day two, do their way in, go to do the medical and fail the medical.
Yeah,
could have a cut, or could be concussed, or anything. So it's a different thing. You know, it's very hard to get in there and throw shots. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, I just like how they're so so well organised, like I said earlier, so well organised, like medicals and everything. They take good care of the athletes, the fighters.
Well, you have to, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
You have to.
I do. I feel Irish MMA is taking a step forward, and hopefully soon enough.
Well, we have the highest standard for safety in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Safe MMA. Yeah,
yeah, but just we have the highest. So the Irish, like, so if you want to fight there, and you have to have a brain scan.
Yeah.
No other country in the world does that.
Yeah.
You know, boxing don't. The only one else, we just do it for MMA.
Just MMA.
Yeah. So, and what we trying to do was that it's just to get that initial one that everything's all right before you even start.
Uh-huh.
Or if there's something up that you can go and talk to somebody, and then okay, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to fight or not fight. You know, that's all that's about. You know.
I know you're involved in just MMA, but I was planning on doing it beyond MMA, like boxing, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, brain scans.
No, that's their own thing.
That's their own thing. Yeah. And how's the process going with trying to make sure that MMA is a recognised sport in Ireland?
Yeah, that's happening. I think the North, it's going to be recognised force in the North. I think it's already going like that. But yeah, that's there's a team on that all the time, working with the government, working with the sports council, and that's in the works. Takes a long time. You got to do like set up certain things, and then there's certain goals over certain times, and then you have to have audits, and you have to have other people come in, look where your association's going, your membership has to grow. Then when you do all that, you go to Sport Ireland, they sit down and say, okay, A, B, C, and D is good, but F, we need to work on, so we go back and do that, and then you go back and have a meeting, and that goes on. Politics goes on for a long time.
Are you still involved with them?
Yeah, I'm still involved, yeah, I'm still on the board, but don't really get too much involved there. Tim Murphy and a fellow called Danny Carr, they do all the real graft, all the hard work, you know. They're doing all the stuff with the government and the sports council.
Yeah. What year do you think MMA will finally be recognised as a sport in Ireland?
I don't know. Very soon. See, there's even if they are recognised, it doesn't really mean anything. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
So say now the government turn around and say, okay, we now recognise you as Irish MMA. Right. Someone else can open another association. Many kickboxing associations is there. Many karate associations is there. You know, there's loads of them.
Yeah.
So it's like they don't control anything. They just recognise you are a sport and you are that sport.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything for you. There's no money handed over. They don't. There's nothing really changes. You know.
Yeah. And I see Irish MMA is obviously on the up and up.
Yeah.
And don't get into too much detail, but what do you need to do right now that you need to work on in order to make sure that MMA is finally a recognised sport in Ireland?
No, we're doing it. We're doing all the stuff. So it's all to do with child protection, child safeguarding, coaching courses, referee courses. So what happens is that Irish MMA, we started at the top and then we got to work our whole way back. Where most sports started, the grassroots, we started nearly in the UFC and then we're working our way back to an association. Yeah. So it's all the coaching courses, grading systems, you know, safeguarding, education, and building it from the kids up. So that's all happening now. We've got kids going to youth world championships. We've referees courses on every few weeks. We've got coaches learning all the time. We've got guys travelling the world. We had an international event last year with all the Irish kids, and we'd Ukrainians, we'd Lithuanians, we'd English, we'd Scottish, we'd loads of countries turned up for it, you know, so it was great. So now everything's been done right.
Yeah.
And we are stepping there, but it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It was great to see Cage Warriors back in Dublin, because Bellator's great and all, but you got to really be an SBG to get a fight on Bellator.
Yeah.
Cage Warriors opened the door. I think there were 7 or 8 different clubs on that, you know. So that was good. And they're back in November.
Yeah.
You know, PFL are here as well. They're coming PFL, as well. Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. There's something I want to ask you, because you said SPG get the lion's share of fight cards, the attention, the press.
Well, just for the Bellator, because they're sort of a
Bellator. Because I think John Cavan is involved in Bellator in some way.
Yeah. And that's fair play. That's the thing. They are the big gym. Like, you have to. Yeah. People say they are the big gym and they have the most fighters. That's no problem.
Yeah.
But there is plenty of other good fighters out there, you know.
Yeah.
And especially when you're bringing something to Ireland, you know, share the wealth. Tom, Chris Fields and Tom King doing a great job on Team KF and Swords, and the lads in FAI up the north are doing a great job, and you know, there's fellas all over the country doing great jobs. Liam McGriffin in Cork, and it's, you know, it's great. So it's good to see more people on. I think it does build a little bit of rivalry. So when it was me and John's lads fighting each other, and Bam and a couple of Bellators, like I had Miles Price fighting Peter Queen.
Yeah, that was bad blood. It was a bit toxic, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was competitive. You know, competitive. you know.
It was competition, that's great, but we just think maybe it was a bit toxic because Moyes trained with Khabib and I was just training. Moyes trying to improve as a fighter, trying to learn.
Yeah, but Moyes didn't go over to train with Khabib. Moyes went over to train in AKA.
Oh, you know, in AKA, Khabib, and Khabib was there.
Yeah, and he wasn't there for one of the times, but there's nothing, doesn't mean he's but he's not fighting, right? He trains out my gym.
Yeah.
I've no problem with going there. Yeah. Train. Shouldn't bother anyone else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what do you think of the promotional aspects of the fight game? Because I know, like, your guys. Obviously, the guys we trained with are super humble. They wouldn't talk shit. Except me, of course.
No, but that's the way we are. I've no problem being confident and believing in yourself. But you don't have to be a dickhead. You know what I mean? We turn up to nearly 99.9% of the shows and I get on with everybody, talking to everyone. That time, Miles was fighting Peter Queeley. Peter Queeley walked in. First thing, howie, Andy? Shook hands.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I'm the coach. Whatever hassle they have, I see John. We get on very well. John rings me probably every couple of weeks. I ring John every couple of weeks. So, you know, we keep that. But it's healthy competitiveness, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are good at it. Some people try and be Conor. They can't be Conor. Conor's the only Conor.
Yeah.
And he's great at what he does.
Yeah.
That's his thing. And there's plenty of good fighters out there, you know.
Yeah. And no disrespect to any SBG fighters. I've got so much respect for them. Yeah. Anyone who steps in the cage are... Yeah. Any sort of competition, we have so much respect for them. Yeah. But I do see a few SBG fighters trying to be a bit like Conor. I know you can't say anyway. I don't want you to have any trouble.
No.
I'm not involved in MMA, so
no trouble for me. I can handle them all. That's just probably a bit of confidence in where they're from and what team they're with. You know what I mean? And they're just probably trying to fire things up.
Yeah, I know that.
But doesn't fire us up. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it might fire up other people. You know?
Yeah, true that. But I just felt. They are trying to be like him, like personality-wise and all. You look at James Gallagher, for example. Yeah. Like, back then, he was a carbon copy of McGregor.
Yeah.
Of course, fair play to him. He's mature now. He's coming into his own now.
Yeah, he's a but good fighter.
He's around a long time. Yeah,
he's
around a long time. Yeah, real good fighter.
I actually get on very well when he's a nice fella.
Yeah, yeah. As well, speaking about Team Rhino and them not really getting recognised, I do see you are always very underrated. When I was witches, I always felt... There's something like he's a world class team, but he's never really got any praise or attention or credit.
Yeah.
He's are so underrated.
Yeah, because
the animals you have in the gym.
Yeah, I think we got great response and great credit when the lads see was in the UFC and the whole early days before you come in UFC Cage Warriors when all the Helix events.
Yeah,
it was there lads leading the show there most of the time. You know, a lot of lads on it. But we just, when the job is done, win or lose, that's it done then. We move on to the next one. We don't go on about it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But we're not looking for anything. We're not looking for handouts or anything. I think we have a new batch coming up there now. Everything goes in turns. So you get a wave of good fighters, then things die off. You get a wave of good fighters, things die off. Fellas get older, fellas get injured, fellas get married. So, I think we get plenty of respect. Well, no, when I turn up and I was in Abu Dhabi and Swedish coach came up to me and said, I just wanted to put a face to the name. I see your guys fighting all over the place. Just wanted to say hello, you know. So that was good, you know what I mean? So we're known all right, yeah. But we wouldn't be, like, SBG is huge, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it's just Swiss Team Rhino could get more praise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The praise deserve.
We'll get it with the fights. We'll get it with the, you know, what we do in the cage or on the mats, the jiu-jitsu. And then for me, the Team Rhino is not just about, you know, the MMA and the UFC and a certain thing. It's a very, very family-based gym.
Yeah.
So, in my gym, I must have 10 guys, more, 20 guys that are kids trained there.
Yeah.
Our kids' program is probably one of the best programs around. The kids aren't too super hyped about competing in competition. They love coming training.
Yeah.
Some of them do. We don't force it on them. We have 4 or 5 coaches on the mat with them and all the kids training on the mat.
Yeah.
So it's great. So we have that good family environment. We do a camp every year in Portugal.
In
Lagos.
In Shinobi.
In Shinobi gym. Yeah, Colin Bourne, a very good friend of mine. And I went over there 11, 12 years ago and I ran my first camp and there was 10 of us. We had a camp last year and there was just under 70 people in the camp.
Yeah.
So we have a camp this year, this October, and out the door. I think we have 65 people booked on it.
Yeah.
We're just going to cap it at that and it's really good.
What about San Diego? Because I know you go San Diego.
Yeah, I love San Diego. My most favourite place in the world.
Dublin, eh? Not home?
Yeah, home. If I won the lotto and I had big money, I'd live in San Diego. San Diego was nice. Good weather, good beaches.
Yeah.
You know, good jiu-jitsu.
Great, yeah. And I forgot your man's name, but it's like Rodrigo.
Rodrigo Medeiros. Yeah.
You train with him in San Diego,
yeah. He's actually coming here now in September, yeah.
Is he? That's great, yeah. How often do you train with him? How often do you
I haven't got over the last while, but usually I try and go once a year.
Yeah.
And he comes over here, so I try and get over. Usually, we went as a team. We went in, I think, 2017, about 20 of us went.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bit of crack, a bit of a holiday. So, but I try and get over once a year if I can.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? I think I was just going to wrap this up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Perfect, yeah.
All right, that's it. Yeah, yeah, no bother. No bother. Just wrap it up, yeah? All right. All right, bye-bye.
Tell the world and say me, I'd be here cause me want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and say me, want freedom, come, want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and say me, want freedom.